was not an accident. It is spiritual, and it is part of an ancient war. We are involved in a gigantic one, and this goes to the book of Revelation. This is what I saw when I saw the dragon.
Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, it is a pleasure to be able to have you here on Charisma, to be able to talk about your book, The Dragon's Prophecy, which comes out the day after Labor Day. And there is so much richness and depth in this, because you've talked about things in this book that you haven't even touched about in your previous book. So this is a very, very special book, and we get to talk about this right now. The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, the Dark Resurrection, and the End of Days. Rabbi, welcome.
Great to be back, Sean. Always great to be with you.
So, Rabbi, I know that you and I have talked before, and you were actually wanting to write a different book. You had the plan for Return of the Gods Part 2 or the Return of Gods 2?
The sequel to the Return of the Gods, which
yes.
I'm still going to write. You know, it's going to happen. But yeah, so I was in the midst of getting ready for that.
Yeah.
And then I got interrupted by the Lord. It was beginning to come, and I was driving my boys to school, and I saw in my mind a red dragon. And I knew, kind of gelled with that from Revelation. And the Lord confirmed it. So I stopped what I was doing. I'm still going to do that. I began writing The Dragon's Prophecy.
Yeah. And the Return of the Gods is a very, very powerful book. And it's explained so much of what's going on in our world today. But The Dragon's Prophecy is really your look at the end times and the things that God has shown you, because you've never talked about Revelation, the end times, and Israel before, to this extent. So let's dive into this message. I mean, you saw God showed you this red dragon.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. All the books are in some way prophetic, or what's happening now and revealing mysteries that we're all dealing with. That are manifesting from ancient times and replaying. And this one too, what's happening right now, what's been manifesting. But this is the only book, The Dragon's Prophecy, the Limbic, where I totally open up, it totally, dovetails, connects with end time prophecy, end times, and Israel. Really, the subtitle is Israel, the Dark Resurrection and the End of Days. So it is actually all that. I've never written a book where I'm writing it, the things are happening in the world, and I had to keep updating it and changing it because things kept happening as I was writing about what I was writing. Also, I've never had a book where there's been so much attack before the book came out. We always get attacks when it does. So please pray, everybody, when this comes out. But this from the beginning, as I'm writing about. I'm in Revelation, and I'm writing about the dragon's flood, the flood he spews against, God's people, against Israel. And a flood comes, as I'm writing it, against our ministry, against the building. I mean, literally. Then it dies down. The next day, a second flood comes for a totally different reason. It had nothing to do with the other one. Then a third one comes, and that was just the beginning. So the enemy does not want this in the hands of God's people. So it's an encouragement for me that I know all the more this is for now. This is now Dragon's Prophecy is opening up, a whole nother realm that is behind what we are watching in the news. It's all that. What if there's an entire other realm in the spiritual realm, but it's real, it's exact, it's precise. And it is touching all of our lives right now. That is what the Dragon's Prophecy is going to open up. And that we are also, that this is not just about, not only Israel, the church, and the end times, but it's about each of us, because the dragon or the enemy has a war. His war against Israel is linked to his war against the church, and his war against is linked to the war against each of us, each of our lives. And in the end times, it's going to be more intense and more important to know. And so how do we recognize that, and how do you overcome? So it's everything. I mean, it's cosmic scale, global scale, end time scale, and also personal for each of our lives to overcome.
Yeah. You mentioned Israel, and I know we're coming up on the anniversary of October 7th, which was the invasion of Hamas, into Israel and just the terror that happened there, which has led to a almost year long war now. And we'll see how this plays out. But God's given you a revelation about Hamas and this attack. Can we dive into that?
Yeah, one of the mysteries in the dragon's prophecy actually foretold, ordained that there would be an attack on Israel in the year 2023. It would happen in the autumn of 2023. It would happen in the month of October. It would take place on a Sabbath day, on the Saturday. It would happen on a Hebrew holy day at the same time. It would take Israel by surprise. It would lead to war. So it would happen on the first Saturday of October of 2023. And I'm actually sharing about this mystery that ordained that. I'm opening up this mystery at Beth Israel in New Jersey, the congregation I lead, on Friday night. And I'm sharing this mystery. And it was October 6th, the next morning it happened. Mm. So in fact, you know, because we're on a 7-hour delay, it actually began before the stroke of midnight that Friday night. So wow. I'm sharing it. And the next morning, people who are there, who are here awaking to what happened in Israel, are saying, you just spoke about that. So this is one of the mysteries that's opened up in the Dragon's Prophecy. And I finished the manuscript, three more events came true from this mystery. And so this mystery may enable us. It's one of the things in the Dragon's Prophecy may enable us to know future events and even exactly when they will happen, because God is in charge of everything.
Yeah. So this book was in your, God spoke to you about this book and it was in your heart before the events of October 7th. And
well, yeah, the book wasn't in my heart because I wasn't thinking about writing a book at that time, but the mystery was.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so since then, all of these other things have been able to, happen. As you do, you see spiritual and prophetic patterns. And now you're relating this to Revelation, which is something that you haven't really written about before. So let's talk about the connection between Israel and the book of Revelation.
You know, the Bible says that there is a being, a fallen angelic being, an inverted, twisted being that is the mission is to destroy the purpose of God. Stop them, thwart them, end them, destroy them. On the other hand, you have a nation, a people called Israel, who are brought into the world for the purpose of accomplishing God's purposes, bringing into the world the purposes of God, the word of God, the ways of God, the knowledge of God, God, Messiah himself, and the kingdom of God. So what's going to happen if these two are in the same universe? Well, there's going to be a war. And that's exactly what you see when you look at human history, world history, Jewish history. What do you see? It's no accident. What would we expect to happen? We'd expect that the Jewish people would become the most hated people, the most persecuted people, perennially, continuously, universally, the most controversial people. Well, that's exactly what's happened. The Jewish people, it's no accident. It's spiritual. It's not an accident that all over the globe, people come. I hate the Jewish people. It's not an accident that this hatred, anti-Semitism, has been from ancient times into medieval times into modern times. The names change, the reasons change, but it's the same hatred. So it makes no sense. You know, the communist world hated the Jews because they said they were capitalists. The capitalists said the Jews are communists. You know, no matter where it is, it's the opposite. You know. And so we're watching, it's universal, it never dies, because the first anti-Semite was an angel, a fallen angel. And so it's supernatural. And that's why, and then the dragon, you know, the dragon does not sleep. And so it never ends. So what just happened that took the world by surprise with October 7th and all the outbreak of hatred of Israel was not an accident. It is spiritual and it is part of an ancient war. We just saw a little part of that war, the last chapter of that war. But we are involved in a gigantic one. And this goes to the book of Revelation. This is what I saw when I saw the dragon, you know, when I saw an image of the dragon. By the way, John, when I started writing the Dragon's Prophecy, it turned out it was the 2024 became the year of the dragon. It turns out there is a comet that comes sweeps by Earth every like 70 something years. It was appointed for 2024. It's called the Devil's Comet or the Mother of Dragons Comet. I mean, so many things about the dragon. And the dragon is mentioned in Revelation 12 and onward. And it's the dragon is at war with a woman. The woman has a crown of 12 stars. That's Israel, the 12 tribes. The woman gives birth to Messiah. That's only Israel. And so Revelation actually gives this. This is 2,000 years ago. And it's giving the war right then. And it has a lot of revelations within it, including, number one, he uses the word Greek word for persecuted. So it's not an accident that the Jewish people are more associated with that word than any other people. It's right there in Revelation. It says that the dragon has an orginzo, or a, that's the Greek word for a rage, an antipathy, a hostility, a burning hatred for Israel. And this rage you see to this day in Hamas. You see it, you saw it with Hitler. You know, it's never ending. You know, you see it, you saw it on American campuses. I mean, it's all part of that. Now, the thing about Revelation and Revelation 12 is that it focuses on the beginning of the age and the end of the age, when the woman gives birth to Messiah, first century, to now, which is the end time. So it happens when Israel is back in the world. That's when it kicks in. That's when the focus, that Israel will become the focal point of this rage, and it'll intensify. Well, that's what we're watching in the world. And this opens up the door of all sorts of mysteries that we are watching right now.
Now, you talk about several different mysteries in this book, and the secret of the sea peoples is definitely one that keeps my attention, or gets my attention. Let's talk about that. Who are these sea peoples?
Yeah, this is an issue that it is all over the world, and that's affected. I mean, it's in the United Nations. It's on Harvard University. It's everywhere. It's really the focal point of hatred against Israel that the enemy's using. And the thing is, there's a reason behind it. There's a whole mystery. Once you see it, it's like, oh, yeah, of course. Well, you know, the enemy is a mimic. He imitates. He imitates God. He shall be as God. He tries to be as God. And so what did God do? God resurrected an ancient nation, Israel, back into the world. So the enemy is going to resurrect an ancient nation into the world. What nation? It's going to be, he's the enemy, so it's going to be an enemy nation of Israel. What was the nation or people that were the arch enemies of Israel in the Bible? All continuously, the Philistines, they're called, or the Pidashtim, they're called. Well, the thing is, he has already resurrected them. It's the Philistine resurrection. And the thing is, they'll say, well, wait, I didn't know that. They're called today. It's not about them. We pray for all people. They don't know what they're doing. They're being used, but they are called the Palestinians. The word Palestinian means the Philistines. It literally means the Philistines. People don't realize that. They're calling each other the Philistines. In fact, they don't call themselves the Palestinians. When they're not speaking English, they're not going to do that. The word for Palestinian in the language of the Palestinians is the word Philistine, literally. Or Philistini. They're literally called Philistines. So you've got this resurrection. The amazing thing is, in ancient times, the first appearance of the word Philistine comes right after the first appearance of the word Israel in the records of the ancient pharaohs. One comes, the next comes. And so when God was resurrecting Israel, the enemy was resurrecting their enemy. And it happened, it was just after the beginning of the movement of Zionism. It was the next year. The word Philistine starts spreading in the Arabic language. And now a people start getting conformed to the image of the ancient Philistine. When Israel was resurrected, then there was always this parallel resurrection happening in the Arab world, and it was the Philistine resurrection. And so what's happening is you have a people who are being conformed to the image of the ancient Philistines, and they're serving the same purpose. The enemy's using that to attack Israel as the Philistine, to delegitimize Israel, to claim the same land as Israel, to cause the world to hate Israel. So it's, once you see it, it's like, of course, but it's all there.
Wow. So the mystery of the Philistines or the sea peoples, there's so much to go into with that, because, you know, your books are all about parallels and paradigms and looking at these patterns that have been all throughout the scriptures. We're seeing them repeat. And now we have even the book of Revelation now, which we're looking that we're falling into this pattern as well. Write about the mystery of the Pelechet.
Yes.
Am I saying that correctly? Pelechet?
Perfectly. Yeah. This is, you know, in ancient times, where were the Philistines dwelling? What was their headquarters? It was called Pelechet. In some of your Bibles, it'll say Philistia. But it's the land of the Philistines. It was in Israel, but it was a certain little portion. Well, the amazing thing is today it has a different name. Today, Philistia or Pelechet is called the Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip is Philistia. And the thing is, you know, the city of Gaza was the city of the Philistines. And you know, now that's an ancient city. I mean, that goes back ages and ages. But the Gaza Strip did not exist. People don't realize this. You know when it came into existence, Sean? In the same time Israel came into existence, 1948. When Israel, that year, the Jewish people go back to their ancient land. The people who call themselves the Philistines go back to the land of the Philistines. That's when it exploded in popularity. That's when they all went there. So we have a mystery here. This is a replaying of the Bible. And October 7th is based on that. What happened there came from the land of the Philistia, Pelechet. That, and in ancient times, that was a source of a lot of misery and evil for Israel. And so what we watched, you know, on the news was actually a replaying of an ancient mystery being orchestrated by the dragon.
Wow. Wow. So Rabbi, there's a lot of things that are connected with this. And I know that, you know, there was a lot of symbolism at the Olympics. Okay. There was this rider on this horse, and a lot of people were making this parallel between the rider on this horse and like the pale horse in Revelation. But you talk about the colors of the apocalypse. Let's dive into that a little bit too, because there's a lot of symbolism that's crossing over.
We'll go all over the place. Because I get into, because like the largest section of the book is about the end of days. And this is one of the end of days mysteries. And that is that, you know, when you look at Revelation, you see the colors are there. The colors of the apocalypse are the four horsemen or the riders and the four horsemen. And the apocalypse is ultimately, it converges on Israel in Armageddon at the end. And so you have first, of course, you have the white horse. Then you have the red horse symbolizing war. Then you have the black horse with famine and a want. Then you have the green horse, which is death. So you got white, you have red, you have black, you have green. Well, the amazing thing is if you look at what was appearing all over these protests against Israel from Harvard to around the world, in the West Bank, in Gaza, you saw the colors of the apocalypse. The flag of Palestine is white, red, and black, and green. The colors of the apocalypse. And the thing is, whenever you look, if you see a nation that has those colors, that configuration as the prominent colors of its flag, it marks it as an enemy of Israel. It's amazing.
Wow. I just got chills when you said that, because I've seen those flags, but I've never made that connection. And you make that connection and so much more in The Dragon's Prophecy, which is available everywhere, but you can pre-order it. The link will be in the description of this video. It'll be pinned in different places as well. But you got to get your copy of it, because we're not going to be able to talk about everything in this interview. There's so much more with this. And so we'll talk about the end of days a little bit more, but I forgot a question that I wanted to ask about Jubilees, because I know that this concept is something that we really need to grasp and understand.
I've spoken about it in different ways. I wrote the Oracle, which is called, says the Jubilee Mysteries. Well, that is about the resurrection of Israel. This is now going into another realm. Now, the thing is that to understand the Jubilee, of course, is the 50th year. And on the 50th year, it's restoration. If you lost your land, 50th year, you return, you get it back, you are restored to that. Well, there's no nation that has lost its land as dramatically as Israel. And so could it be that the restoration of Israel is actually linked, God linked it to the mystery of the Jubilee? Well, he did. And I'll just give a quick thing. And that is that for the, one of the key years was 1867 and the restoration of Israel. That's, won't go into detail, but that's actually the year that the land is released, that the Jewish people can start coming into it again. Well, the thing is that if you go 50 years later to the next Jubilee, it takes you to 1917. Anything happen? 1917, the Balfour Declaration, the British Empire gives the land to the Jewish people, back to the Jewish people, and the Turks flee the land who were occupying. They had the land, but they never got Jerusalem. Well, go 50 years later, and where does it take you? 1967. Anything happen? Six-Day War, Israel, God restores Jerusalem in the year of Jubilee. There's so much to this. I'm just doing it very quick. But in the Jubilee, you get the legal right, too. You're recognized. It's your land. The world refused to give that to Israel and Jerusalem. Refused. Until, if you go 50 years later, it takes you to 2017. Anything happen? That's the year that America issued, under Trump, the Jerusalem Declaration for the first time since ancient times, giving the restoration, the legal of Jerusalem. All that's part of this mystery. But the devil is an imitator. So he's going to take the Jubilee and he's going to twist it and he's going to take it from something that is a blessing and he's going to turn it into something that is a curse or a calamity for Israel. These are all blessings. But what the enemy did is he took a calamity and it was the worst thing that ever happened to Israel since up to October 7th. And it was called the Yom Kippur War. And what happened is that Israel was invaded by, took it by surprise, almost was the end of Israel. It was almost destroyed. And by a miracle, they turned it around. They won, but they were shaken ever since. This is a ground invasion. So what would the enemy do? What take the Jubilee of that? As God is doing Jubilees of restoration, so when is the Jubilee of that calamity? The year 2023. So it's going to happen in 2023. What happened in the Yom Kippur War? It was an invasion, a ground invasion that took Israel by surprise. 2023 is going to be the ground invasion that takes Israel by surprise. When did the Yom Kippur War take place? In the month of October. So what's going to happen in the month of October? When, on what day did it happen? On the Sabbath day, Yom Kippur, on the Sabbath day, on a Saturday. So the next one's going to happen on the Saturday, a Sabbath. When did the Yom Kippur happen? On a Hebrew holy day. Mentioned in Leviticus 23, one of the Moedim that God gave, the appointed days God gave. So when is this going to happen in 2023? On a Hebrew holy day that is also one of the appointed days of Leviticus 23. All that, and it catches Israel by surprise again. It was almost a replay of everything. And so if you put it together, from the Yom Kippur War, the Jubilee means the mystery is that Israel will be invaded in the year 2023 in the month of October on the first Saturday of the month of October, as was the Yom Kippur War. That's exactly what took place. This was the devil's Jubilee.
The devil's Jubilee. Wow. I've never thought about the devil's Jubilee. I know that that God has Jubilees, and that's where things are restored to its rightful place, its rightful ownership. But I've never thought about the devil doing that same type of thing because he's just a counterfeiter.
Yeah, exactly, John. And the thing is, I'm going to go into it, but in the Dragon's Prophecy, it goes through that also he counterfeited the Sabbath. He calls that day the Black Sabbath, what happened there. He also counterfeited the holiday of Israel, holiday of joy. He counterfeited it as well. So he desecrated, he desecrated each of those things on that day.
Wow. The Bible talks a lot about prophetic events and this invasion of Israel. Do you think that this event, that this invasion that we talked about from October is what Ezekiel was talking about?
Well, Ezekiel actually prophesies an exact invasion of Israel that must take place in the end of days. It happens when Israel comes back from the nations. It has never happened before. He actually specifies those nations that we can identify a good amount of them by their ancient names that Ezekiel gives them. The amazing thing is, number one, the every nation that he puts on there that we know of, that we can, his number is today an enemy of Israel or has an alliance against Israel, military alliance. Every nation. Number two, what I discovered when I was looking at this is that, you know, they're all prophesied that they will invade, they will take part in an invasion of Israel. Well, the thing is, John, each one of those nations had a part in October 7th. Each one of them, was part of arming Hamas, smuggling into Hamas, training Hamas for it, said maybe even leading Hamas. Every single one of the nations that Ezekiel mentions had a part in the invasion. And so that it's still yet to come. But for the first time in human history, it crossed that prophetic line. They all partook in an invasion of Israel. And it even mentions Iran, which is very crucial in this mystery.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Iran, I believe that there's this secret of this entity of the Sar Paras that you talk about in here. Can you explain a little bit about that? This is fascinating.
Yeah. In the book of Daniel, it talks about this entity, this spiritual entity, demonic, called the Sar Paras in Hebrew. Sar, and it exists to stop the purposes of God and to stop particularly the purpose of God for Israel and particularly for the last days. And the word Sar can mean Lord, ruler, or general. And the word Paras means Iran. So here you actually link to a specific nation. So amazing thing is that, you know, you have this nation, Iran, Persia, Iran. And so what it's saying is that when Israel comes back to the world, because it's linked to the end days, it tries to stop the purpose of God for Israel in the land days. So when Israel comes back in the world, this entity is going to be activated. And so it's no accident, it's linked to Iran, that Iran has become the most anti-Israel nation on the planet. Israel considers Iran its arch enemy. It is obsessed with destroying Israel. It's obsessed with getting nuclear weapons and destroying Israel. Why? Because there's a demonic entity there. And so, you know, the nations try to have diplomacy with Iran. It doesn't work because they're not dealing with a nation. They're dealing with an entity. So you have a Sar Paras, the Bible, it's amazing. You know, you have that. And then on the other hand, in Israel, Daniel says they also have a Sar or a general. And his name means who is like God, or in Hebrew, Michael or Michael. Hmm. And so Michael is actually the prince, the defender of Israel. So you've got this war going on right now. And the Bible speaks in the heavenlies, and yet it's on earth too. It's no accident. What we're seeing on earth is a manifestation of what the Bible says is in the heavenlies. The Bible has the answer. And so Iran, you know, is one of the nations that Ezekiel said is going to attack Israel. That never happened directly. Happened directly until now. For the first time ever in human history, Iran attacked Israel directly, sent hundreds of missiles to bring destruction on Israel. And the thing is that 99% of them were struck down. And, you know, we know this technology, but the Bible says there's also an entity in the heavenlies, striking that. Right. And so at the same time, so you've got Iran, you know, behind Hamas. Behind October 7th was Gaza. Behind that was Hamas. Behind Hamas was Iran. Behind Iran is the Sar Paras. Behind the Sar Paras is the dragon. With Israel, behind the defense of Israel, you have the IDF. The Israeli Defense Force. Behind them, you have the Tsar Israel, Michael. Behind him, you have Messiah, and you have God. So it's all happening when you take this. And I want to throw something else on this, and that is, and this may go to the next thing. But the president of Iran, you know, the first president to ever authorize the attacking of Israel was a guy named Ebrahim Raisi. Ebrahim Raisi, his name Ebrahim comes from Abraham. He's named after the father of the Jewish people whom he wants to destroy, and the man who God made a covenant with, the Abrahamic covenant. His name bears witness of that covenant. The Abrahamic covenant says, if you bless Israel, you're blessed. If you curse Israel, you're going to be cursed. It's going to come back at you. So he says, he who touches Israel is the apple of God's eye. Well, Ebrahim Raisi touched the apple of God's eye. He sent the missiles to strike Israel. About 30 days after he did so, he was struck dead. And his helicopter mysteriously crashed into the mountains. And the thing is it's an interesting thing for me, because first of all, he also at that same time threatened he was going to annihilate Israel. There'd be nothing left. That's blasphemy. That's God's nation. Well, on that weekend when he was going to be struck down, there was an appointed scripture that was read throughout Israel in all the synagogues of the world. It's appointed for that day. It ended with this: the one who blasphemes God shall be struck down, shall be put to death. The other thing is that Ezekiel says that Iran is one of the nations that's going to come against Israel. Well, Iran is the only one that has directly struck Israel of Ezekiel's nations. And God says, I will bring you against the mountains. You will fall the mountains. Abraham Raisi was struck, brought down against the mountains and wow. fell upon the mountains of Israel.
Well, you just brought up about a mountain, and I want to shift to a different mountain, the secret of the mount, because I know that there are these five red cows and that there's these red heifers. And one of the reasons that Hamas gave for their invasion was because of these red heifers.
Yes.
Let's talk about this secret of the mount, because we're on red heifer watch right now. We're looking like, is this sacrifice going to happen now? When's it going to happen? What's going on? There's a window that we have right now. So tell us about your understanding of this.
Yeah. Well, the Temple Mount, one of the things in the Dragon's Prophecy is called the Secret of the Mount. It's a whole section because there's so much there. One of the things is that the Temple Mount is the ground zero of prophecy. It's the center of the center. It's all going to be centered there. The temple is going to be built there. The Antichrist is going to go there and desecrate it. That's the abomination on the Temple Mount. The kingdom is going to be there. Messiah is going to reign. So the enemy, think about, what would the enemy do? He'd seek to do everything he could to stop God's purposes from happening on that mount. So what happened? What would he do? He would try to keep Jewish people off that mount. He would try to keep any Jewish person from ever praying on that mount. That's the mount of prayer. That's the Temple Mount. And that's exactly what's happened. He basically has the mountain. And Jewish people are not allowed to go on that mountain, not only not build a temple or synagogue, but they cannot even pray on that mountain. So if anything would happen to upset that dominion of the enemy, the dragon on the mountain, all hell is going to break loose. You're going to see the enemy enraged. And so it's exactly what happened. People don't realize it. This is the secret story. Before October 7th, something happened on the mountain. And that is that there was a rumor that Jewish people are going to go up there and celebrate Passover on the mountain. All hell broke loose on the mountain. Riots broke out. Everything broke out. It was a disaster. It was on Passover, on a Hebrew holy day. Well, after that happened, Hamas issued a statement. They said, basically, in effect, we are going to have revenge on you. The revenge was October 7th. October 7th was all about the Temple Mount. See, that's the center of prophecy. That's the center of Revelation, of the book of Revelation. It was all, October 7th was about the book of Revelation, was about prophecy. It's about the battle of the dragon for that mount. It has to do with the Antichrist, has to do with everything else. So the thing is that, so what happened was, it was the dragon going crazy to strike back. And the result of that, the rage was October 7th. It actually was because, in fact, when Hamas issued the statement, as you alluded to, they mentioned not only the red cows, they were threatened by the red cows. Who's going to be threatened by the red? The dragon would be. And they said that Israel was going to take over the mount. And that's why they did it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. But for the dragon, for the enemy, it does. And so the thing is that the attack, actually, Hamas called the attack Operation Al-Aqsa Tufan. Al-Aqsa relates to the Temple Mount. So he's saying the whole thing was about the Temple Mount. But also in Revelation, it says the dragon came against Israel with a flood, right? A flood out of his mouth. So what? Well, the last name of that operation, they called it Operation Al-Aqsa Tufan. The name Tufan in Arabic means the flood. It was the dragon's flood, his revenge for the Temple Mount. And by the way, John, I mentioned this in the book, but it was all, the Temple Mount was also behind September 11th. We didn't realize it totally. Oh, there's so much, But totally. And here, let me give you one other thing here. There's so much, but I'll give you one thing. And I know we're, hopefully you're okay with time.
We just we're good with time. Yeah.
All right. So the thing is this, there is one day on the Hebrew calendar where they read the account of Solomon building and dedicating the temple on the Temple Mount. And there's only one day, And so, and the one day, now if that would happen, like you can imagine this, if the enemy, all over Israel, they're reading about the building of the temple on the Temple Mount. That's going to be a threat to the dragon. Okay. Well, that day is a Hebrew holiday, and it fell on October 7th. On October 7th, all over Israel, they're reading about the Temple Mount and the building of the temple on the Temple Mount. On the same day, the enemy has Hamas launching an operation that is named after the Temple Mount. So this is the war. Once you, the book is pulling away the veil that you see this is real, and this is all spiritual. And it's affecting all of our lives.
And there's even a connection to 9/11 that you mentioned in the book. And there's so many more things, because I know we've just scratched the surface with this. And I know even on the cover of the book, there are clues and there are things that are in there that I'm sure as you as people read this, they'll understand what's the cover all about. So you got to get your own copy of that, and you can get that anywhere the books are sold. But you also mentioned about the Antichrist, and that's something that we are always curious about. Who is this Antichrist?
The focus of the Antichrist is going to be Israel, Jerusalem, and the Temple Mount. You know, the enemy always desecrates the things of God, so he's going to go to the holy place. So all the, and again, October 7th was all linked to that. The Bible says that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world, and the thing is, as we get closer to that day, you're going to see, I mean, there's a whole section called the beast here. And you're going to see the signs of the Antichrist. You know, we're, you know, people are focusing on, oh, is it this person or that person or that person? You got to be careful with that. But the thing is, you're missing the bigger thing. The bigger thing is that the spirit of the Antichrist is already affecting your culture. It's already moving. It's already happening. The spirit of the Antichrist is one that desecrates. So you're watching in our culture a spirit of desecration, desecrating the things of God, changing what God made, male, female. You know, marriage, family, you know, twisting everything. That's the spirit of whatever it could be desecrated is desecrated. It's interesting because the Antichrist is spoken of in Revelation as a beast. The Messiah is spoken as a lamb. You know, dragon is a dragon. And actually, in the book of Revelation, you see this whole interplay of that. And it's interesting, you know, it says in Revelation, you know, you read about the dragon and then it gets focused on the Antichrist, who is like the incarnation of the dragon in a sense. And the thing is that it says a spirit came out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the Antichrist. It spread throughout the world. And what did it do? It gathered the entire world to come against Israel at Armageddon. And so what we watch, this is the other thing. I'm glad you brought it up because what happened is that it wasn't just the events of October 7th. That triggered a spiritual explosion. And that is that all around the world, instead of there being mercy and compassion, it erupted hatred. In Revelation, the dragon's orgizo, his rage was all over in America, not just the Muslim world, but in the European world, in American campuses. These are the future leaders of America. And there was a hatred for, as you know that, John, that when they did a study that young adults in America, almost a majority believe are siding not with Israel, but with Hamas. And they believe that October 7th was justified. That's the future. The Bible says it's going to spread all. You may look at this and say, you know, when you look at Armageddon, all nations are coming against a nation the size of New Jersey. It makes no sense. But you know what? You saw a shadow of it. It made no sense. It's going to be a satanic fury, a dragon's fury, the beast's fury. It's going to be all set. But you saw a little taste of it with all this blood frenzy over Israel. Israel gets attacked and victims, and there's a blood frenzy against Israel. So not only that, let me just tell you one quick thing about that. I think they're all chanting in Harvard and everywhere over from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. Well, you know what? That's part of the mystery, too, because what does the enemy do? He inverts the things of God. That actually comes from the Bible. When God gave the land to Israel, he said, I give it to you from the river to the sea, from the sea to the river. Again, the promise of Abraham. Oh, so what, the enemy takes the promise of God of the land and inverts it to Israel's destruction. But we're watching, you know, everything that happened is prophecy. These things are actually connected to the book of Revelation, to the prophecies of Ezekiel, to the end time prophecies of God. It's amazing. And we need to know the signs of the times. It's a war, but we're all in it.
Yes, we are all in it. And what you just said really sends chills down my spine, because you said all this rage against Israel. It's Israel was attacked, and now the rest of the world has turned on Israel.
Yes.
It's made no sense to me. It really hasn't, except whenever you say that like this, it makes more sense, and that this is a foreshadowing of what is to come in Revelation. But if this is a foreshadowing, you're telling me that it's going to get worse. And that's why people need to get the dragon's prophecy, so that we can be aware of what is actually happening and what is going to happen. Because, you know, prophecy is best looked at and understood looking backwards, but we need to keep our eyes forwards. And as you see a puzzle piece, as you see a puzzle coming together, and all the pieces are filling in, there's less pieces that are that there's a gap, and you can see these pieces coming and where they're going to go. So we need to study the past. We need to understand the signs of the times today and look for where these coming puzzle pieces are going to go in. And the dragon's prophecy is going to help us do that. Rabbi Kahn, any closing words or any thoughts that you want to share?
Yeah, a few things. And of course, we just touched, even with all this, and thank you for the time. We went farther than we were going to do, but there's so much. We just touched on it. There's so much. But the last part of the book is going into what do we do? And how do you, because there's the war is again, not just against Israel. It says he made the dragon war against the rest of her children who follow the ways of Messiah. So it's a war against every believer, and it's a war against everyone who bears the image of God. The dragon has a war. Since you were conceived, the dragon has been warring against you. He's been all sorts of ways to keep you from God, to abuse you, to addict you, to defile you, to depress you, suppress you. That's it. And so how do we recognize, though, because the same battle against Israel, the same battle against we're all dealing with. The Bible gives a promise about how to overcome. In fact, to that same prophecy of the dragon in Revelation 12 is the one that it says, but they overcame him by the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, by the power. So we are guaranteed victory, but we have to fight. And the thing is that, and so the last parts of the book deal with that. And the thing is that there's actually a mystery. We won't be able to go into it, but there's a chapter called The Mystery of the Secret Israelis. And I'll just say this, and it gives the key about how to overcome it, everything in the end days, because it's going to be more intense, but everything you're dealing with in your life. And the thing is, it's linked to that. I'll just say this, the secret Israeli is actually you, everyone listening who is born again. You're a secret Israeli, according to the Hebrew of the Bible. And there's an incredible revelation about how to overcome. But God has called us to overcome. And just keep in mind, when you're looking at this whole picture, and you're looking at what's happening in Israel, yes, Israel, the history of Israel bears witness to the enemy, but it also more bears witness to God. Because after all this, we're just getting a little taste of it. It's been going on for 4,000 years. You know, the Pharaohs tried to destroy Israel, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Hitler, Russia. But you know what? The Pharaohs are gone. The Rome has fallen. Babylon is gone. Hitler's gone. All the terrorists are going to be gone. They're all gone. But the nation of Israel lives because the God of Israel lives and because Messiah of Israel lives. And if you are following him, you're going to live and you will have victory. If you fight the fight, you're going to your guaranteed victory. Your God lives, and that's beyond all the things. And in Revelation, it says there is victory in the Lamb. In the end, you got a dragon, you got a lamb, but amazingly, the Lamb wins. And so if you're with a Lamb, you're going to win, but you got to fight, and you will be guaranteed that victory. Slay your dragon. You have the power by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Rabbi, would you just pray for the people that are watching this, that are going to get the book, that they would overcome, that they would have the power to slay the dragon?
Yes. Father, we just ask your blessing on everybody watching, Lord. Give them victory in victory in every life, Father. All of us, we want the power of your victory over everything. Whatever is happening, whatever they're dealing with, the power of the Lamb, of Messiah, by the blood of Messiah, to overcome that thing, Lord. You've called us for victory, Lord, and we pray also for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for your kingdom to come. We pray for the future of America. We pray for the end times, Father. And we, Lord, we want to be counted, Father, as victorious in all things. So, Lord, we're going to fight the good fight, and we're going to overcome by faith in you. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, Or HaOlam, the light of the world, the foe of Israel, the glory of Israel, V'Ariyah Hudah, the lion of Judah, V'Aseh Elohim, and the ladder of God, Jesus. Amen.